In a world where politics is all about the fighting.
I watch a George Will or a Charles Krauthammer. You know, I watched them for years. They're losers. They're just losers.
Piers, you also have to... Have you ever fired a weapon?
So that young man should have shot those people.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if someone had...
WCHL cuts through to the heart of the matter. It's time for I'll Grant You That. Reasoned, calm, thoughtful, with your host, Berkeley Grimble.
Welcome to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble. This is a show about politics, which is uniquely interesting in this uniquely interesting political year. And today I am thrilled to have as my guest on the show, Mr. Peter Boykin from Greensboro, North Carolina. Peter, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
I met Peter last weekend at the Gay Pride Festival in Durham, and I had to say that, Peter, you are the most you were the bravest person there, because Peter is... had a booth with the Gays for Trump booth. And briefly, how was your experience there? Because I noticed many people walking by asking the question, are you for real? Did you get that response a lot?
Yeah, I get that response a lot, but it's understandable.
I would imagine that many people, particularly in the gay community, would look at your booth and think that it was perhaps performance art, since, you know, the gay community does a lot of performing, that it would be not unlikely that could happen. But so how did you, well, I guess sort of where do we start here? My mind sort of has lots of questions. I could sort of understand people being Republicans, and I understand voting for Trump, but to some degree I can. So how do you end up taking on or deciding that you want to specifically go into a organization where it's Gays for Trump? And what's the story of the organization, and how widespread is this movement?
The movement is widespread across America. It's a little bit disorganized because, of course, it's a movement. And, you know, I guess you could say we're nowhere near like the Black Lives Matter or something movement. But, you know, there's no real organization. It's just all over the place. My goal is to organize it even more, especially, I believe, when Trump wins, that'll give the opportunity to, you know, unify it even more. They're going to be something a little bit better than, you know, they had the RNC Gay for Trump party, but I want something that's actually more of an actual organization.
So where did it start, the Gays for Trump movement or organization, as it were?
I would say probably from day one of his campaign. I heard about it a little bit before the RNC, because even myself was like, you know, I happen to be gay, my partner is gay, my husband, and we're like, well, I don't know too many people that are probably going to be, you know, Republican, or at that point I was semi-independent, or in North Carolina they call it unaffiliated, but I've always been moving more toward Republican anyway. I've sort of raised Republican, didn't like W, liked second term Bill Clinton a little bit, not really caring for Obama. You know, I even did a Clinton for McCain campaign 8 years ago after we voted for Hillary in the primaries. We didn't like Obama, and we got so mistreated that we felt like, look, we're tired of having to deal with ultra-liberal people in the Democratic Party. They're not listening to us. They have no reason. And we moved towards Clinton McCain. We actually like Palin for, you know, a woman president.
Let me figure out, first of all, decide who us is. Is us the gay community, or is it the... Republican community or conservative?
During the original campaign, there was a lot of Clinton supporters that were independent, sort of like me. You know, we were kind of Democrats, but we kind of liked Hillary at the point because we liked Bill Clinton's second term. We thought that he worked well long as Nate Gingrich is basically on him, you know, and he did well in those second terms. So we were, you know, incensed that maybe Hillary will do well because she'll have Bill Clinton, you know, behind her. You know, it's a plus that she's a woman, you know. But what happened is, and this wasn't just the gay community, it was, you know, a good group of us. But once we started hearing the things about Obama and how they mistreated the Hillary supporters, and they took and invaded our group, we started seeing the true ultra-liberals that didn't even care about their own people and their own party and how they mistreated us and how they started calling us racist. So they kind of disfranchised us way out of the Democratic Party.
Okay, so us being gays?
No, just anybody that was for Hillary at the time.
Okay.
Was really in Obama. We were told that since he's the Democratic nominee now, you have to vote for him. You know, and if you don't, you're racist, which was far worse than the fact because we were the exact opposite. Because he was black, that was one of the good things that I liked.
And,
but at the same time, I couldn't really understood the shady path, you know. And then you did have Hillary supporters who first did bring up the birther issue. After kind of Hillary bounced away, then, of course, you had the more Tea Party people, and then Donald Trump brought it up, and, you know, Hannity brought it up, and there was a lot of this past history, and, you know, and unfortunately, Obama got in. I just don't feel like that presidency has been a very good one.
So, I mean, do you object to him and also, I guess, Hillary because of their basic political stance or how they are towards the gay community? I'm just trying to understand here how much of this is that you are, okay, exclusive of your sexuality.
Yeah.
I mean, suppose you're a completely, suppose you're heterosexual, neutered, whatever, who you would be voting for, you would be for Trump. I mean, I'm trying to understand where does the gay intersect? That's where it's hard to put your hands on, because historically, if you had to make a blanket statement, generally the Democratic Party has had more progressive views towards, sexual freedom for people and also for, the minorities like, name your minority, gays, et cetera, et cetera. Gays, women, blacks have usually found a friendlier place in the Democratic Party than the Republican Party. Wouldn't you agree?
I actually believe that's a misconception because I believe the gay community and the minorities always have been told that the Republicans apparently don't like blacks and gays. Yet Lincoln, Republican Party is the party of Lincoln. They're the ones that freed the slaves, and there were lots of black Republicans for many years until racism was brought up by the actual Democrats. Same thing with gays. You might have your Bible-thumping Christian Republicans, but you also have your stubborn Democratic, anti-homosexual Democrats just as easily don't care for the gay party. So for me, you've got both sides on both fences.
Well, I can see that.
Unfortunately, harder than the gay issue.
Peter, we have to take a short break here. This is Berkeley Grimble. I'll grant you that, and we shall return. Welcome back to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble, here. And talking with us from Greensboro, North Carolina, is a member of the Gays for Trump organization, Mr. Peter Boykin. And we are talking about why, before the break, we were explaining why you thought it made as much sense to vote for Republicans, for a Republican as for a Democrat, as for a gay person, which is contrary to, I guess, what a popular conception would be.
Correct. I do believe that younger people like myself, when I was younger, you do have more liberal views. So Democratic Party seems a little bit more open. They pull in the vote. The problem is, after being disfranchised the last time around, I've recognized that the Democratic Party really just kind of tries to get your vote. They really are there. Like even Donald Trump said, they're here during election time. They get elected. Bye-bye. See you next 4 years.
Well, what about the fact that gay marriage was legalized nationally under the Obama administration? Doesn't that count for something?
He happened to fall under a good time, but Republican groups like the Log Cabin Republicans have actually been fighting this in court for the very longest time. I mean, they've also had liberal groups as well, but you can't tell me we got it because people had pride parades, and things. People did it through the legal system. You have to, like with gay marriage, the biggest problem I've had is we would have had gay marriage a long time ago if they could have stepped the religion out of it. Because what happens is Republicans, they always say they think religion, because if they say gay marriage, they think they're religious. institution.
Right.
When gay people really wanted to get married, if all we really wanted was the legal marriage form. You know, you can get married religiously. You can get married by the court system or vice versa. But when we try to tell people you're not qualifying it properly, you keep saying marriage. The Republicans or the Bible people or whatever, both sides, see man between man and a woman, but they see it religiously. But I could have got religious marriage a long time ago.
Yes, exactly.
So if they would have qualified it as actual marriage, you know, court marriage, we would have got that a long time ago.
In other words, this speaks to what how important language is and how important naming things is. I mean, if what we had was civil union, which is what your, you know, the legal, you know, aspect of joining two people together legally under the law, as opposed to marriage, which is, of course, you know, in the Bible and in all religions as a religious institution. And it just so happens that they are totally, utterly commingled, well, basically, I guess, probably the world over for the most part. Maybe they aren't in Scandinavia, but certainly in the United States. I mean, if you say marriage to most people, you know, probably the first image that comes to your mind is a church, you know, if
yeah,
just
definitely.
In general. And so, yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I think it was a problem of the religious people felt threatened because for which reasons I thought were utterly ridiculous. I mean, the whole idea of, yeah, let's let gay people get married so they can, you know, have all the fun that all the rest of us have, all the straight people who are married. I mean, you know, so you say you are married yourself?
Husband and we're not officially married, but we have all the legal papers that we need in order to basically be a marriage, you know.
Right.
Domestic partnership benefits. I mean, we've got a lot of the different things, you know, the living will and just haven't done the marriage part. I mean, it's something that people can do. I mean, it gives you some extra rights, but there's ways that you can get just the same marriage. I mean, you got to think in the straight world, people are technically married, not married all the time, you know. It's just another process. I mean, it was happy the day that they allowed, you know, so-called gay marriage, but it was coming. We started actually as a nation looking kind of silly when other nations were adopting the practice. I mean, we can throw equality out to other nations, but we're not doing it to ourselves. And that's why he took it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't do it on a religious benefit. Everybody worries about the conservatives would have said no, but when they came down to it, they decide on the Constitution. And the Constitution is loosely based on some religious benefits, but if you can't solely say that all our laws are based on all religions. So the people that try to tell me that Trump's going to put in somebody who's going to overturn it, and I'm like, it's not going to happen. They've been trying to use the religious phrase on abortion all this time, and it hasn't worked. So your only defense would be to go to a religious defense to try to get our gay marriage church took away, and it's not going to happen because they've already declared it. Even Trump has said it, that there's too many more important things out there. They're not going to overturn it. It's been done. The court systems have decided, and there's no overturning it. So I'm not worried about it anymore. But the biggest thing that people tell me is, well, you're voting to get your rights taken away.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, the problem with that is, the people who are coming in, who Hillary Clinton, Obama, we're not even talking about the Mexican people. We're talking about like Syrians and stuff. They have cultures that are like basically are Sharia law and things where they don't like women in certain ways. They definitely don't like homosexuals. They throw us off buildings, you know, and that's their way. They come over here. They're going to come over here all humble. They're going to get better on their feet. But next thing they'll do is they'll be pushing for their religious law. They're going to be no different than they're just going to be even super radicalized people that are going to take all our rights away. So, like I tell people, I was like, okay, you're selfish for your own rights when we're going to lose all our rights and probably our lives.
So you're worried that you're worried that the 30,000.
100,000.
Okay, and you're worried that they are going to not assimilate and going to form a movement that will put Sharia law? I mean, you're really worried about that?
You can look at places like France and other countries like Germany. They do not assimilate. Their whole culture is to make other people assimilate to their culture. They're not going to assimilate. They're not going to go home. They're only going to keep pressing their issues. You've got places in France that police can't even go to because they're under Sharia law. You know, you've got they just do not have a good sense of you know, law when it comes to basic human rights, a lot of them. Now, you have a lot of Muslim people who believe differently. They're not that radicalized religion, you know, but if just a fraction of that, I mean, just look at how many people, say the Black Lives Movement, has caused stirs in this country. So you can imagine, you know, just a small group of radicalized people coming over here, what they can do. You only takes one to destroy.
It only takes one person
to kill 60 people in the gay club in Orlando.
It only takes one, as we know. Yeah, that's
it. Only takes one.
Yeah, but I think, again, you can't stop the one. I mean, electing whoever you elect as president isn't going to make an iota of difference on stopping that one person. I think that's what we're up against.
I think the vetting process is the biggest. When you're as president, you can stop. You can put a stop. You can guide people. You technically are the CEO of America.
Okay, unfortunately, we have to take another break here, Peter. This is Berkeley Grimble with I'll Grant You That, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to I'll Grant You That. This is your host, Berkeley Grimble, here in the studio with Peter Boykin. Peter actually is in Greensboro. But Peter, in the last 4 minutes here, I just have to ask the one question I do ask of everyone who is voting for Trump. You know, from our standpoint, our meaning the other side of the aisle, it just seems like by every standard, this man is a despicable human being. I can't think of a single metric by which I would not count him as just a horrible, horrible person. Does anything about him bother you just in terms of who he is as a person? I mean, his integrity and anything else? Does any of that cause you concern?
I believe he's been a pro-gay for a long time. He's donated to charities. I don't see him as a despicable person.
Mm-hmm.
I see him as a very, very proper businessman who has probably done a lot to change things. The man is 70 years old. He could have just went and disappeared somewhere. But he has actually decided, like the whole, even JFK said, he's given back to his country, you know. And I believe people want to say that he's only about himself. But if you're about yourself, you just go disappear. And he's not going to do that because he's out there spending the rest of his life now. So basically, he sees the issues and people see that what he has seen, he's kind of a soothsayer because he has actually said things that have actually happened. And I don't see him as a vulnerable person, like,
For instance, what if everyone did what he did and basically got out of paying all income tax, which he obviously isn't?
Do you know that that's usually the American dream? Most people would like to actually not have to pay taxes.
I disagree with you.
Legally, like he has, gotten out of paying any taxes, that's more power to him. He's a great businessman being able to do that. Most businesses do that. But you also got to understand that they do take your taxes out for the year. So basically, the government keeps your taxes, keeps your money for a while. They make money off your money for years.
If you are a normal person like you and I, but I mean, if you are a extremely rich person, the system is pretty much rigged so you can do what he apparently does so well, which is manipulate the system so that he pays no taxes.
I would say that on the Hillary side, when she says that rich people should pay more, I don't see her cutting an extra check to the government. I don't see the rich people who say that they should pay more cutting a check to the government, because the government will gladly take donations directly to the government. So those people that say that they should pay more are not paying more. So if they think that system works, then they should volunteer their money. But it would take 1,000 Donald Trumps to pay off our deficit.
I will grant you that you can't.
I mean,
we cannot fix this.
German.
Yeah, I grant you we cannot fix the financial problem by strictly taxing the uber rich. Although certainly, I mean, we could go back to even the level of taxation, which was a few points higher during the Clinton era, which was highly, you know, successful economically. I mean, there's no reason why the rich people couldn't pay more.
I just feel like we've gone through 16 years of really bad economics. We got somebody who had a couple of $1 million, turned it into possibly $10 billion. Let's say he only has $5 billion. If that was the case, you know, everybody who wins the lottery or whatever should be able to make that much, you know, and get that high. So obviously he's doing something right. He didn't do as well in his casinos, but in his real estate business, he's done really well. I mean, the government, it technically is a business because we did lose a credit rating. So that means it's sort of a business.
The government is not
a
business.
The man can run and make money. I think he can make money for America. We can get our back.
I hope your man loses. That's all I can say. But thank you. This is Berkeley Grimble here with Peter Boykin. Thanks so much for being on, Peter.
All You're welcome.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.